Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You're wondering who I am. آنچه که ملاحظه کردید، صدایی که شنیدید، فضای غبارآلود استدیو
Oh, pardon the interruption. While you're broadcasting your lies and propaganda, claiming that you shot down Israeli F-35s, actual Israeli aircraft are dropping bombs or missiles on your Iranian state TV. And yes, the woman survived. She was broadcasting in another studio thereafter. But pretty poignant moment. If you've seen the video, you can see the screen shaking and you hear the explosion. She's like, ah, gotta go. And it's a little bit like the Roadrunner. Beep, beep. She moves on to another. Yeah, man. This is total domination. The Israel-Iranian war. It's not over, but, I mean, it's over. This is shock and awe. This is like the invasion of Iraq, only they didn't stop before Baghdad. Like, this is, they have total air control in, what, 4 days? That's unbelievable. Because they have done all the things that you're supposed to do. You know, they used advanced weaponry like the F-35. And no, Iran has not shot down an F-35. What did they claim now? Three? They've shot down? Come on. Come on. Now, you may have seen the pictures. The supposed, there's a video out there. There's a video of, look, this is us shooting down the F-30. Okay. The video from a video game video? Is that the one you're talking about? With all the, like, perfect, you know, somebody's got the perfect zoom in, zoom out, captures everything. See, doesn't that look just a little bit too good for you? It does to me. I've seen actual battlefield footage. It doesn't look like that. Or then there's the picture of the F-35 on the ground with 100 people around it. The F-35 that's, what would you say, John, in that picture, 400 feet long?
Yeah, I know. I was going, are you serious?
When AI generates the photo. maybe it's the F-35 XXL variant.
There you go. They must have developed that
it's
one.
It's just so absurd. Which, of course, that was, oh my God, my social media. That was all of the memes yesterday was, you know, all the things the Iranians have shot down. The X-Wing fighter, the Battlestar Galactica, an aircraft carrier buried halfway in the sand. Just all of it. The Star Destroyer, you know, in the distance.
Yes.
You know, the half buried, like, in the Force Awakens. Anyway, so no, Iran has not shot down any F-35s. That would be very unlikely, especially since the radar cross-section of the F-35 is so tiny. And the use of the F-35 was to get in there and target all of the radar defenses and then use missiles launched from F-15s and F-16s, which they also have a substantial fleet of, to take those out, the Rampage missiles. So, no, total air domination. They are in control of the air over Iran. They are dropping bombs at will. They are in control of the airspace. Iran's, in fact, one of the slightly painful. I mean, I say slightly because I hate seeing F-14s get destroyed. It's like when you're watching a movie and they destroy a Lamborghini. Like, I know it's probably just the shell. It probably wasn't the full car, but it still just makes me upset.
Shell.
Yes.
I'll take it.
It's upsetting. There's not a lot of F-14s left.
No.
And you're just destroying
that work.
One. That work. That's right. That's work. That work. I mean, how are you going to have a Top Gun Maverick if you don't have F-14s in Iran for Tom Cruise to, you know, get in there and you know, steal one? Right.
Yeah.
I did think that was I did not realize Iran had F-14s. I mean, I knew the movie was based on Iran. Obviously, the movie was based on targeting a nuclear site inside Iran. Okay? They don't call it Iran, but it obviously was. I didn't know they had F-14s. That's a real-life thing. You know, and, well, now they don't. Anyway.
Got them off eBay.
They got them off eBay. Is that what somebody said?
No, that's what I said.
Oh, that's funny. Have you ever seen, people do try to sell, like, F-18s, and they sell them as a joke, right?
Right.
You know?
The Harriers.
Slightly used F-18, you know, former Blue Angels plane, only $34 million. You know, I know what I've got. Don't lowball me. You know, like.
No negotiation.
Oh, and by the way, In addition to the air dominance by Israel, you also have the ground operations. They had, oh, surprise, Mossad. Remember the people who brought you the exploding pagers and walkie-talkies and cell phones?
Yes.
They also brought you successful infiltration of Iran and the use of drones. Is this starting to sound familiar, like Ukraine against Russia? They'd smuggled in. They created a drone base inside of Iran that targeted their weapons. So, you know, good for them. Good for them. Oh, and by the way, the push now is on for some control over any U.S. involvement in this region, which, by the way, we have the Nimitz is going there to join the Carl Vinson, probably going to replace it. Like the Carl Vinson is probably going to cycle off, but not just yet. We've got a third Arleigh Burke-class destroyer going there. That's the one with the big Aegis system. If you ever watched the TV show The Last Ship, that's what that is. Okay. Nathan James, wasn't that the name of the ship?
That was a great program.
Yeah, series. It really was. Anyway, so we got a third one going there, and that's what we use as some of the air defense around, you know, Jerusalem and Israel more broadly. Anyway, my suspicion, I am a civilian who reads a lot, but I'm a civilian. My suspicion is that Iran's done militarily. They've been decimated. And they are not capable of fighting back. I mean, they sent these missile volleys, and there might be more. There might not be more. Because this is like last desperation. And that they, my theory is that, well, now they might make a deal with the U.S. You know, there's all this like, how did we get here? Did the U.S. know? Did the U.S. permit? Did the U.S. tacitly allow? I mean, you really think Israel's not going to do this without notifying at least? And look, you know, it's carrot or stick. You know, you can work a deal with me, no deal with me. Go on, Israel, show them. I mean, you know, that seems plausible. Now, the reaction, of course, is what is Russia, what is China going to do? Are they going to resupply? Are they going to step in? Is this going to be a broader war? Or are they going to be like, oh, this is, you were stupid, you know? So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. Time will tell. 437-1620, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Just that one accident to let you know about. If you're on I-10 westbound getting off at Scenic, we're starting to see some delays in that off-ramp right there. The accident happened just right at the light, so just be aware of that, causing roadblock in both directions. Again, with Scenic Highway, got the earlier mess taken care of, but now it's another mess. All right, so I-10, the rest of it looking good. If you are on Davis Highway going southbound, headed toward Olive Road, I'm seeing some major delays there, so be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, this is a good note. Somebody says Iran had F-14s before the fall of the Shah. That's how old they are, by the way. Oh, no, and I had read that. That makes sense. They haven't done much to really beef up since then. So what they had before, they kind of inherited and then tried to maintain. And, you know, the fall of the Shah, that would be 78. Is that right? Because the hostage crisis was post-fall. That was, you know, the Ayatollah, right? So, gosh, I got to think of that. 77, something like that. It's been a long time. 50 years. Okay. By the way, the planes are old. They're very, very old. They were not new when they made Top Gun. Okay. 718 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
As America continues to endure sin and debauchery of just about every type, I find myself evaluating my patriotism. For many Christians, it's become increasingly difficult to express patriotism when the powers that be are wholeheartedly endorsing the wickedness of same-sex marriage, abortion, transgenderism, and such the like. However, for me, my patriotism is primarily rooted in gratitude for our country's biblical foundation. My patriotism stems from our country's past in spite of her present. I love that our coins say, "In God we trust," and our pledge still includes one nation under God. Our national anthem declares, "Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God do we trust." If we want God's continued blessing, we must get back to Him, because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air. Tune in this Thursday at 9. See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at NewsRadio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The who? The her.
I get up, I get down, and I'm jumping around. And the rumpus and ruckus are comfortable now. Been a hell of a ride, but I'm thinking it's time to grow. So I got
good morning. 7:21 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David,
well, hold on.
We go.
Got to let it get to that part. Sorry, bro.
Hey, that's all right.
Go on, man. Go on.
That's good. Well, the G7 nations say Iran cannot get a nuclear weapon and Israel has the right to defend itself. A joint statement was issued by the heads of the U.S., U.K., France, Germany, Italy, Canada, Japan, and the EU at the G7 summit in Canada yesterday. The curfew hours for downtown Los Angeles are being reduced. This man owns a business in Little Tokyo. He says it's been a rough week and a half.
It has been closed since last Friday, I want to say 8 days. We opened yesterday and today, and it's been super slow.
And that curfew there is now in place 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. It had been starting at 8 p.m. since last week after the protests turned violent and businesses were looted. The Sean Diddy Combs trial picking back up today. They'll have testimony from a special agent with the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York. Yesterday, the trial started with a juror being dismissed over conflicting responses on if he lived in New York or in New Jersey.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:22 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is kind of interesting. We were talking earlier about the Floribama. Not the Floribama, sorry, the Flowerama. You can see how I would mistake those without thinking about it. Anyway, the Flowerama shop over on Gulf Beach Highway and Navy Boulevard has now been demolished. Longstanding kind of eyesore in the community after they went away. And it's going to be a Circle K. It's going to be a Circle K. And the comment that I'm getting from a couple different people, including former Commissioner Doug Underhill, is that, you know, A, does this fit with the Warrington overlay? And B, he says no. Also, it'll be interesting to see the impact on traffic because that intersection was not designed to have traffic going in and out at that corner. Oh, that's a good point. I mean, if you put a gas station in a corner, you can do it, but it's a lot of in and out traffic as opposed to a flower shop, which is occasional in and out traffic, right? So, or, you know, some. So, no, good point. I hadn't been thinking about that. We'll see how it pans out. What else do we have going on? I don't want to talk about this. I have time to talk about this now. I do. I want to talk about this. We've been on the Supreme Court this morning a lot, and a lot of interesting news out of the Supreme Court. There's also a historical note about the Supreme Court that happens to be true today. 1963, this is the ruling of one of the most significant Supreme Court rulings that you probably never heard of, unless you're in sort of constitutional and or religious circles. You might not have ever heard of. You know about it, but you haven't heard the name. It's Abingdon School District versus Shemp. One of the two famous cases in the 60s, before Griswold v. Connecticut, long before Roe v. Wade, you had Engle versus Vitale and Abingdon School District versus Shemp. Engle versus Vitale took prayer out of the school, and Abingdon School District versus Shemp took the Bible reading out of the school. Two of the most important cases in the last 70 years. And gosh, it's been 60 years since this happened, right? So this is interesting. This is the historical date, the anniversary of the ruling in Abingdon School District versus Shemp. Which, you know, you had basically the school district in Pennsylvania, they were reading Bible verses without instruction, without clarification, without any theological instruction. They were just reading Bible verses in the classes. It was required by law at the beginning of the day. And that got struck down as being a violation of the Establishment Clause in an 8-1 ruling. And if you heard me talking before about 9-0 rulings, you know that 8-1 is controversy. Right? 7-2, 6-3, 5-4 is all controversy. 8-1 is controversy. And I had forgotten, actually, that it was an 8-1. It wasn't a 9-0. And so I was kind of curious. I went back and read the dissent by very great Justice of the Court, Potter Stewart. Very interesting dissent. Very interesting. And I'm going to read some of it to you here in just a second, because it's one of those things that you get to see now, 60 years later, what happened. You know, sometimes the dissent turns out to be more true than the majority opinion. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner. That's Barbary Plumbing at 477-8782. Still dealing with the accident that happened right off of I-10 westbound at Scenic in the off-ramp right there at the light. We've got traffic backed up on the off-ramp on I-10 westbound at Scenic. So definitely want to get around that. Also, if you're on Avalon Boulevard traveling southbound toward I-10, expect maybe a 7 to 9 minute delay, just congestion trying to get onto I-10. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, by the way, I looked it up. The fall of the Shah was February of 79. So, I mean, I knew it was before the Carter, Reagan, and all that. I just couldn't remember how far before that was. So, okay. Back to the Justice Potter Stewart dissent in the Abingdon School District versus Shemp case, 1963, in which they ruled 8-1 to remove mandatory Bible reading from classes before the school day began. I'm reading from the dissent. We err in the first place if we do not recognize, as a matter of history and as a matter of the imperatives of our free society, that religion and government must necessarily interact in countless ways. Secondly, the fact is that while in many contexts the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause fully complement each other, there are areas in which a doctrinaire reading of the Establishment Clause leads to irreconcilable conflict with the Free Exercise Clause. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's the two clauses. A single obvious example should suffice to make the point. Spending federal funds to employ chaplains for the armed forces might be said to violate the Establishment Clause. We're funding religion, okay? Yet a lonely soldier stationed at some faraway outpost could surely complain that a government which did not provide him the opportunity for pastoral guidance was affirmatively prohibiting the free exercise of his religion, because as a practitioner, you are entitled to have leaders, right? He goes on, as a matter of history, the First Amendment was adopted solely as a limitation upon the newly created national government. That's so vital. Congress shall make no law. Not states, not cities, not ECUA shall make no law. Congress shall make no law. As a matter of history, the First Amendment was adopted solely as a limitation upon the newly created national government. The events leading to its adoption strongly suggest that the Establishment Clause was primarily an attempt to ensure that Congress not only would be powerless to establish a national church, but would also be unable to interfere with existing state establishments. Each state was left free to go its own way and pursue its own policy with respect to religion. Thus, Virginia from the beginning pursued a policy of disestablishmentarianism. Church and state, not the same. Massachusetts, by contrast, had an established church until well into the 19th century. That's true. Many of the colonies had established churches, the truth that you often don't get told in school. I accepted, too, the proposition that the 14th Amendment had somehow absorbed the Establishment Clause, although it is not without irony, the constitutional provision evidently designed to leave the states free to go their own way, the First Amendment, should now have become a restriction upon their autonomy. To hold that a state cannot consistently with the First and 14th Amendments utilize its public school system to aid any or all religious faiths or sects in the dissemination of their doctrines and ideals does not manifest a governmental hostility to religion or religious teachings. A manifestation of such hostility would be at war. Sorry, to hold that it does that does not manifest hostility is wrong. A manifestation of such hostility would be at war with our national tradition as embodied in the First Amendment's guarantee of the free exercise of religion, meaning if you act like prohibiting religion doesn't violate the Free Exercise Clause, you're wrong. This is the key paragraph. It might also be argued that parents who want their children exposed to religious influences can adequately fulfill that wish off school property and outside school time. With all its surface persuasiveness, however, this argument seriously misconceives the basic constitutional justification for permitting the exercises at issue in this case. For a compulsory state education system so structures a child's life that if religious exercises are held to be an impermissible activity in schools, religion is placed at an artificial and state-created disadvantage. Viewed in this light, permission of such exercises for those who want them, you could opt out, by the way, in this law, for those who want them is necessary if the schools are truly to be neutral in the matter of religion. And a refusal to permit religious exercises thus is seen not as the realization of state neutrality, but rather as the establishment of a religion of secularism, or at the least, as government support of the beliefs of those who think that religious exercises should be conducted only in private. There are some cases where it is impossible to be neutral. If you allow Bible reading in the school because the parents and the local government want it, you are adopting a pro-religious, although non-sectarian, endorsement of a religious text. If you prohibit the Bible from being read in a public school, you are adopting a sectarian view that says that religion is only safe to be practiced in private away from the government. The government favors secularism over religion. Justice Potter Stewart could not have been more right more than 60 years ago.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump left the G7 summit in Canada early, flying back to Washington overnight, he says, because of the Iran-Israel conflict.
The president says he'll be going to the Situation Room early this morning. The president brushing off the claim by French President Emmanuel Macron that he was cutting his G7 trip short because he wanted a ceasefire. The president says he's looking at more than just a ceasefire, adding he wants a real end to the fighting, a, quote, complete give-up by Iran.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Trump administration cuts to the National Institutes of Health grants focused on minority groups are ruled illegal by a federal judge in Massachusetts.
U.S. District Judge William Young, a Reagan appointee, questioned a Justice Department lawyer over how the administration could justify cutting funds that had been appropriated by Congress, saying that after 40 years on the bench, quote, I've never seen government racial discrimination like this.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio 92.3 77. Partly cloudy right now. We'll get our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Now, Pensacola police say drivers died after a single vehicle crash on Scenic Highway. Officers responded early this morning and say the driver was found partially ejected from the vehicle. Scenic Highway did reopen here just a little while ago. After that crash, and we'll get an update on your traffic in a couple of minutes with John Pickens. A 60-year-old Pensacola man has died after a head-on crash on Sorrento Road. That happened yesterday near the intersection with Bauer. FHP says the man was driving a Prius and crossed into oncoming traffic for an unknown reason. Hit a pickup truck head-on. The driver was pronounced dead at the scene of that accident. The driver of the truck was taken to a hospital for evaluation. Late Pensacolan John Appleyard was recently inducted to the Florida and Caribbean Advertising Hall of Fame.
Jody Bell, our secretary, and a lot of individuals nominated Mr. Appleyard just because of the impact that he had in his area. He believed in making sure that the history of Pensacola was recognized, and we wanted to make sure that that was honored.
And Imani Wright is the Pensacola president of the American Federation of Advertising. And she says that the induction is to recognize all that Mr. Appleyard accomplished for our area and the advertising industry. The ceremony was held at Seville Quarter. Appleyard founded the first ad agency in Pensacola. And following his retirement from the ad agency, he actually started a new career as a historian. He wrote books. He wrote for the News Journal for a while and is recognized as a prolific community storyteller. Pensacola is dedicating a historical marker today at Miraflores Park to recognize the unmarked graves there.
So we'll have that small historic marker of how we're reinterring the remains that were found several years ago.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, those first remains were discovered by Boy Scouts on a dirt floor in a basement in 2021. After that, the city used ground-penetrating radar and confirmed 80 graves in the park. The records were found showing that property was used as a graveyard for African Americans in the late 1880s. A young Mary Esther mother was arrested after leaving her child alone in hot weather for several hours. We get more on that story with Austin
Price.
The
3-year-old son of 22-year-old Danielle Bryant was found alone at a playground. The incident occurred at Silver Sands Premium Outlets, where a bystander reported that the child had been playing unattended for an extended period of time. Bryant claimed she had left her son while working at a nearby store and believed that a friend of hers would come pick him up. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Austin. The search for a missing 10-year-old Arkansas girl that went missing while swimming in Destin continues today. The Okaloosa Sheriff's Office says the search efforts continue along the coastline and in surrounding waterways. Trinity Esslinger, she went missing last Thursday in Destin in the East Pass. And officials say that at the time, four people were struggling in the water. Rescuers got three out. Trinity was pulled under the water. The sheriff's office there says that teams have been performing dives and several vessels and drones have been searching. And again, that search continues today at 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. And John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're back to accident-free right now. But if you're on I-10 between Pine Forest and Highway 29, you're going to see maybe just a 5 to 7 minute delay due to congestion and construction. Also, Davis Highway southbound headed toward Olive Road is seeing some delays, maybe about a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We do have about a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Friday, 50% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Keeping that rain chance around on Saturday with a 60% chance of rain and a high near 88 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 77 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. JPMorgan Chase is betting that a long list of new perks will keep affluent Americans hooked on its Sapphire Reserve card, despite a hefty bump in its annual fee, which will now be $795. The bank is touting a new redemption program that doubles the value of points used for select travel offers and a new $500 annual credit at its collection of hotels and resorts, among others. More restaurants are now reportedly including an 18% living wage fee on customers' bills. This charge helps cover payroll costs and provides staff with a steady fair wage instead of solely relying on tips. United Launch Alliance has scrubbed the second launch of Amazon's Project Kuiper satellites due to an issue with its rocket booster. The company said it will provide a new launch date at a later point. Futures are slightly lower as investors await the progress of the Israel-Iran conflict. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 317, the NASDAQ up 294. That's Your Money Now.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Join Claimology Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's Thursday at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us like he does every Tuesday, Scambia Sheriff Chip Simmons is in the studio here with us. Chip, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How
I
you
feel,
doing?
I feel like I should say sheriff when you're on the air with me, Chip. It seems so informal.
Yeah. I've been called worse.
No, that's true. How many people have asked you about the zipper in the last week?
Too many. Too many. I think it's become a little personal.
No. I'm sorry.
No, it's not that. No one's really asked me. When I first get in the car, my friends, if you'll call them will text me and say, how do you know about that? What's going on with that? I was like, I don't know. Andrew's weird.
No, that's 100% reliable. That's not even informative. Say, oh, that's just okay. True. All right. Turning to more serious, man. It occurred to me. I was curious if anybody asked you. We had a woman, apparently, Junita, I guess is how you say this, Mitchell, arrested recently, 50-year-old Pensacola woman. She sprayed another woman with lighter fluid, set fire to a woman's truck, this is over on 79th Avenue. This is weird. I mean, this has been seems like a thing lately. We've seen a couple of cases like the one at the convenience store, right? Wasn't there something like that with gasoline or whatever? Yeah.
That was terrible.
So, God.
You can't do that. You know, I think the trend here is that there's people that cannot control their anger. And there are confrontations that escalate. That's kind of where we're at in this. Now, it's unusual to escalate to that level where you pour lighter fluid on. I mean, clearly you know that could be, there's fire and there's lighter fluid and there's stuff like that could cause a lot of problems, a lot of injuries to people. And it could kill people. If you recall, a couple of years ago, we had a lady at the gas station pour gasoline on an individual.
Yeah.
And that person got severely burned.
And it looks like, I guess, this one kind of started with, the dogs started fighting with each other, and then it escalated to her spraying lighter fluid. And I guess once you're spraying lighter fluid on people, you might as well spray it on everybody. I mean, it's just weird the things that people do.
Yeah, again, it boils down to the control, your own temper, control your behavior. Give us a call before you start spraying, dousing people with lighter fluid or anything, really. Just give us a call, and then maybe we can stop these things before they happen.
Take a breath, leave the area. The two basic things I always told my boys, take a breath, leave the area. You know, you don't have to say anything and you don't have to fight. I mean, it doesn't always work, but that is the rule. We also had a woman in Cottage Hill passing $100 bills as real currency at the Dollar General.
Yep, that's it. $100 bill. You know, there's not as much cash as there used to be in our economy. However, the people that work at these stores and people who work at banks, they deal with money all the time.
Right.
And they feel the texture of money all the time. And almost all of these counterfeit bills that we have encountered have been terrible. Now, I know the printers are advanced and they do a really good job, but the paper is difficult to get.
Because it's cloth. Like U.S. money is cloth.
Even the older bills are this cloth material that people think is paper. It's not.
Right.
But certainly the newer ones with all of the fancy security measures
and holograms,
those are really difficult to duplicate, fortunately. But again, this lady came there and then she tried to pass this. And then a couple of days before, she tried to pass it, those bills before, and she was kind of stopped then too. So it's not like, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Dude, you did it. You did it.
You we definitely
it
know.
You know, this is a $100 bill, probably the same one. That they keep trying and it's just not working.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. Like I was a cashier for a long time as a kid, first jobs kind of thing.
Right.
And you always notice anything weird about the money. You notice, like, for example, old money with its different color scheme. You know, it's immediately you recognize it because it's just like, how do you train counterfeiters? Well, you train them by showing them real money a lot, and then eventually you don't have to train them how to spot counterfeit. They know it's innate. You know, and so.
Well, you know, I used to work in the undercover capacity, right, back in my younger days.
Yeah.
And we would get, during our conversations with people, and they'd talk to us rarely, but at times they'd talk to us about counterfeit money. They'd print the money back then, and they'd start it. And you could tell because they're trying to age the paper.
Mm-hmm. Put it in the dryer,
to do all this stuff. They're crunkling it up, and just like paper towels, they keep trying to, at one point they had a bunch of bills. They're just crumpled up in balls, and they'd take them out. They'd unfold them and they'd fold them back up and they just try to make it aged enough. And then the plan was to stick it in between a couple other 20s, a lot of work. It just never seemed to work.
They ought to go for something more profitable, like, you know, making pennies or nickels that cost more per item than the item is worth.
Well, in this case, they were trying. They weren't going to a store because they it wasn't going to work. But they would, you know, when you're doing a drug deal, sometimes those people also are a little bit, you know, high.
And not paying the most astute attention.
Not really paying as much attention. They just put in their pocket.
All right. 7:45 on News Radio 92.3. We'll be back with Sheriff Simmons in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're back to accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Story that's been a lot in the news. You had a woman, 43-year-old, accused of using a 77-year-old man's debit card more than 60 times in the last few months, fraudulently.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there was an elderly couple. The female passed away, and then the male note was contacted by the bank because there was some suspicious activity. Come to find out, this lady that had stayed there had been cleaning their house in the past, was using her debit card, and she used it 63 transactions in about a two-week window, and obviously she was. We had a warrant out on her since last year, but as these criminals do, they travel a little bit, and she found her way to Mobile, Alabama, where she was also arrested. Not sure why, but she was spent some time in the Mobile clink, and then she found herself to the Escambia County, Alabama jail, and then ultimately now she's in the Escambia County jail.
So if you want like Yelp reviews of local incarceration conditions, you can ask this woman. She's familiar.
If she's taking notes.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, sounds like she's got a steel trap for Brian. So,
yeah, don't have your purse or wallet around.
Is there an enhancement for doing this against the elderly?
Yeah, there's a crime that involves the elderly, and she was charged with that enhancement as well.
It's so infuriating because, I mean, obviously the crime itself, but then this is why people are suspicious of everybody else who comes in your home. This is, you know, why people are, it's the few bad ones that ruin it for everybody who's legitimately trying to help, because I'm sure a lot of, you know, home assistants, home help, you know, they're just trying to do cleaning, whatever, and, you know, now they got to deal with the paranoid elderly who saw this story, and now they think everybody's a thief. It's
and
awful.
I'm the worst. I'm so suspicious, a suspicious mind, John.
There you go.
I'm suspicious of everyone. If an Amazon driver takes too good a look at my garage door, I'm like, what are you doing, man?
But I can see it.
Yeah, because I've seen and I've heard and I've read all these stories of what's going on.
Yeah.
I do want to mention real quick before we run out of time, the scam again, that people are calling and saying, hey, we're with the sheriff's office. Come to the sheriff's office. You're going to go to jail because you missed a subpoena or there's something about the loans from COVID loans and stuff. And then before they get there, they call them and say, okay, well, you could. There is a chance you can go to a convenience store and pay in Bitcoin. And it just breaks my heart to see the people that are falling for this, because they show up at the sheriff's office and they're like, hey, I've given this guy $10,000, or more, in many cases less, but more. And I'm like, there's nothing we can do for you. You've fallen for this scam that we have put out. I think we counted five, maybe it's the sixth time we put that out on our website, because they think they're sending me to the sheriff's office. It's got to be legit, but they always stop you. And so if you're listening, remind everyone, we do not accept payments for anything. We're not going to call you up, certainly not Bitcoin. I don't even know what a Bitcoin is.
Yeah.
And so it's not something that we do. So please spread the word if you're listening, because again, there's been a lot of people, specifically those that are on fixed income, that have lost a lot of money. And in one case I'm aware of, they have lost a majority of their retirement over the same type of a scam.
And I'm with you, but it wouldn't work if it weren't persuasive, and they wouldn't keep doing it if it didn't work.
All they need is, what, 1% of the 100 people that did fall for it?
It's a job for them. It's a numbers game for them.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars, much, much more than that. And it always, they bounce IP addresses, so it's almost impossible, certainly for the local agencies or a state agency to deal with. FBI's got a handle on some of them, but by the time they get a hold of it, people have lost millions.
Right. You also had, over the last day or two, you had a domestic battery case. This is, again, involving elderly, a 78-year-old victim. Is that right?
Yeah.
In cantonment, I think.
Yeah. It's a simple domestic violence. It was an argument, and it led to violence, to the battery charge. And regardless of your age, you're going to go to jail if you cannot batter someone. Period.
Right.
And as we talked before, I mean, I think you mentioned it, walk away, count to 10, whatever you want to do, whatever calms you down. You know, you can go back and you can finish the conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, write a letter to them, do something, exchange briefs,
right?
If you need to. But I don't think that it's something that's ever going to go away, because we continue to see domestic violence. We obviously take those very serious, because right. they can escalate to serious body harm or death.
Now, it was in the city, but the protest, demonstration, whatever you want to call it, at Graffiti Bridge the other day on Saturday, you guys had one of your trucks there, one of your surveillance vans, right?
Right. Yeah, there may have been some confusion as to why we had it there. Well, the bottom line is that the city of Pensacola is in Escambia County. I'm the sheriff for the city residents as well as the county residents. And Pensacola Police Department is very capable of handling things, but we... You know, the beauty of government should be that they can work together and we can share resources if we need to. So because the city police department doesn't yet have a mobile camera, we loan them ours. Again, just keeping track of what's going on. As I mentioned before, city of Pensacola can handle their own business. But ultimately, if something does go wrong, then we can move in and we can assist.
Did you see anything entertaining on the video?
You know, I didn't sit there and watch the video. There was a good crowd, but I will tell you, I was proud. I was proud of the fact that I can see people exercising their right to protest, but Agreed. Doing it peacefully, staying out of the road, not blocking roads, but getting their message across. I think that's what we're all about.
No, I totally agree. And better than it was done during George Floyd, because they weren't at least in the street. They seemed to be all on the edge, which is yeah. good. We didn't have any of that kind of problem. You know, the one that looked like, and this isn't your jurisdiction, but on 9th Avenue where the truck jumped the curb or whatever, and people right. thought that it was an attack, and it mm-hmm. wasn't an attack. It was just inadvertent. You know, those are all just very good things. I do have a question. Just kind of the technical aspect of the law that I don't really know the answer to. Assault is when you... intimidate, threaten, cause somebody to become afraid for their person. Battery is when you touch them.
Right.
Okay.
That's correct.
A lot of the signs that people will hold up are pretty aggressive. You know, profanity, pretty common. A lot of the things that people shout during a protest are pretty aggressive. In that kind of an environment, the kind of thing that if I said it to you at a bar might constitute assault, in a protest is kind of like, oh, that's just what we're chanting. How do you distinguish those? Do you just kind of set your bar differently? Do you just look for physical interaction as the defining character? How do you police that?
Typically, assault is when I swing at you and I miss. That's we want to take it a little bit farther than just threatening someone. You have to have
the fighting words,
ability
to
carry
that.
Out that threat. So
okay, so an attempted battering.
Attempted battery basically is an assault. Okay. It's the same thing with aggravated assault. If I shoot at you with a weapon and I miss, it's aggravated assault.
Oh, it's not battery.
If I hit you,
it's
aggravated battery or attempted murder,
okay.
one of those types of things. So typically that's the line that we draw. Now, there are times when you know, the fighting words type thing, I get in your face mm-hmm. and I'm threatened to mm-hmm. do this and that, it can rise to that level. But for the most part, that's more of a disorderly type of situation, and it's not necessarily assault.
Okay. And it's, you know, protests often are a kind of organized, sounds like an oxymoron, organized disorderly behavior, you know, within limits, at a place, with a permit, sometimes, whatever. But it's not a violation of the law until.
And even disorderly, you have to offend someone. It mm-hmm. has to be a disorderly to someone else. It can't be disorderly to me as a law enforcement officer. It has to be disorderly to a community or to a neighborhood type. A
reasonable person standard, that kind
yeah,
of thing.
We talk reasonableness a lot. Right. And you talked about no one blocked the road like they did before. I'm not going to let people block roads in Escambia County. I don't care what road it is or where it is.
Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure. Thank you for keeping us safe. Thanks for informing us. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
7:53 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Culver's introduces their new chicken sandwiches, adding a new spin to their classic chicken sandwich and taking them to the next level. Bigger, juicier chicken with crispier, crunchier breading. You can get yours crispy, spicy crispy, or grilled with your favorite toppings made fresh just for you. Visit Culver's today, Mobile Highway, Bayou Boulevard, or Highway 90 in Milton. Third-party delivery is available with DoorDash and Uber Eats, and curbside service is now available. From Wisconsin with love, it's Culver's. Welcome to Delicious.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's 9th Avenue Brass Band. This 10-member band has been bringing the true New Orleans style to Pensacola and surrounding areas since 2019. The 9th Avenue Brass Band never fails to bring the second line to the beach. See you there. No pets, no glass.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
You know, it just occurs to me, John. It'd be kind of fun to remanufacture that one to say, "The sheriff knows."
Oh, that would be good.
And then we
like
could use that for introducing the sheriffs. That'd
exactly.
be great.
Exactly.
7:55 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound through that construction zone between Pine Forest and Highway 29, and even a little past Highway 29, we're seeing about a 9 to 11 minute delay there. Also, Davis Highway southbound approaching Olive Road. Expect about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, how long the California National Guard will remain in Los Angeles is up to an appellate court today. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is hearing arguments over President Trump's federalizing of the California Guard and deploying it to Los Angeles. Governor Gavin Newsom insists that the president's actions were illegal. The lawsuit claims that they exceed the scope and the scope of the president's statutory authority and violates the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Speaking of President Trump, he's back in the U.S. He had to leave the G7 summit in Canada just a bit early. The president said his departure was due to the conflict between Israel and Iran, and he needed to focus on that matter. And the suspect accused of killing a Minnesota state lawmaker and her husband over the weekend is facing federal charges. Vance Bolter could face the death penalty if convicted. He's also charged with shooting and wounding another Democrat state senator and his wife.
And that is a clear-cut case of the death penalty to me. You know, somebody who believes in the death penalty on biblical grounds. I think that that's, you know, once you convict him, of course. But assuming that he gets a conviction, that's exactly the right thing to do to somebody who engages in the act of political assassination, which is allegedly, you know, all the fact pattern seems to fit that that's exactly what this was. David, thanks so much for the update. 7:57 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, we have, remember how the House passed the Trump tax bill and then the Senate was looking at it, and now apparently we have back the Senate counterproposal, the counteroffer, and there are some things in there that I like, some things in there that I raise my side eye at, but, you know, the one that I like is they have basically said no, hell no on the salt issue. The state and local tax deduction. Remember, all these New York legislators got the Republicans got the increase on the state and local tax exemption deduction for up to $40,000 for households that make up to $500,000, meaning that they can deduct $40,000 of state and local taxes against their federal income tax obligation, something that we here in Florida cannot do. You can do, but it primarily benefits them because they have such high tax rates. So they pay more in local, and then they don't pay federal as a result, so they're not paying their fair share, right? You always hear about this fair share stuff. Well, the Senate has come back with, well, how about just 10, where it is right now? So good. I think it should be zero. But, you know, at least at 10, it's something. And then the so we'll see. That's been called a deal breaker by some of the House Republicans. We'll find out if it is or it is not. And then also the this one, I guess I find this discouraging, that the Senate version of this tax bill does also end the taxes on tips. I still don't understand this. As a formerly tipped employee, I don't get why certain kinds of income would be tax exempt. You know, overtime, why is overtime tax exempt? You know, income is income is income, and you should tax all the forms of it the same way. Otherwise, you distort the marketplace because you favor certain kinds of income. You're going to encourage business owners to engage in probably, mildly illegal or semi-legal practices of shifting employees into tip-based economy. I mean, it's like, if you just tip all the income the same, or if you just tax all the income the same way, then you don't have that problem. You know, why wouldn't commission on sales be treated the same way? Auto loan interest, another one. But the child tax credit is going to stay somewhat high at $2,200, not $2,500. We'll see which one gets through final version.